Hello and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Right, well, lots of interesting developments and things going on in my head right now. In particular, I've been very keen to see what's been going on with DBA. DBA 3 is in progress. There are some public betas you can download on the Yahoo group, and I managed to snag myself a copy. And just before this weekend, another version came out, so I grabbed the update and couple of little minor tweaks there. I'm not really sophisticated enough of a DBA player to really spot any major changes. Obviously, one of the things that's causing quite a bit of kerfuffle is the slightly more kind of DBMM nature of it, if you talk to some people. In particular, he looks like he's going with base width movement, which makes a lot more sense than doing these paces, and depending on the scale you are, that's so many millimetres. So in some ways I think that's great. Obviously it could upset a few people, in particular if they've gone out and bought all sorts of custom rulers which are now no longer valid. I could see that being a bit of a problem. Now obviously my main interest in the DBA and DBM family is actually Horde of the Things, which you can use for historical battles as well as fantasy. And I think it's really good little rule book. I believe you can still pick it up if you hunt around, but there is a PDF available where they've stripped out basically the army lists, which, to be honest, you don't really need. But really, really good little rule set. Fairly simple, anything from about 8, I guess, to what, 20 bases per side, with anything from 2 to 8 figures per base. So nice cheap little thing, you know, 20 quid can get you an army quite easily. Now when you're talking about DBA and all the things, it will obviously work with 6, 10, 15, 20, 28 mil. I suppose you could even go up to 54 mil. And that actually gave me something to do recently, because I've been trying to sell off some Lord of the Rings figures, and successfully sold off quite a few of them, but a couple of sets of figures just don't seem to be shifting. No one seems to either want them, or I don't really know what's going on with those, that they just didn't seem to sell. So anyway, I decided to base them up on 60 mil bases for Horde of the Things. About 5 figures a base you can just about squeeze on with a little bit of care, and they look pretty good, I have to say. So I've got a nice Uruk-hai and Moria Goblin DBA slash hot, I should say, list. And I've now got, you know, 24 points in each faction, a couple of alternatives, for example, you know, Samurai or Lurtz as a hero or magician. Really, really looking forward to getting them on the table and playing out Horde of the Things. Now, when it comes to the DBA and Horde of the Things range, obviously 15 mil is really where it's at. And some of the best stuff in 15 mil that I've seen is Copplestone for the fantasy, and Magister Militum, who do both historic and also fantasy as well. Now, there are lots and lots of manufacturers out there, and many of them are very, very good. My personal favourite, as I say, tends to be Magister Militum, because you actually get to meet the guy at shows, have a nice talk to him, and I particularly enjoyed having a chat with him recently. And he's also got a nice little dragon he's working on, and which is rather a large amount of metal, and it's very interesting to talk to him, because I basically got involved in a debate about, you know, metal versus other materials. And he basically made the very good point that with metal, yes, the metal costs more, but if it went wrong, you could just kind of melt it down and recast it. And also you didn't have a lot of wastage, because, you know, anything that was wastage, you melted down and used it for new product. Whereas stuff like resin, for example, you'd have to cast it. If it was wrong, you'd have to recast it, and you couldn't really reuse that resin you'd already used. And I think that's something that's going to be interesting for manufacturers to look into in the future, is some form of recyclable resin, maybe something that you could apply a, you know, some agent to, and it would melt it back down, or you could reuse it. Be interesting to see what goes on there, in particular with the 3D printers coming on stream. Anyway, before I get too sidetracked, whilst I was looking at all this 15mm fantasy stuff, I was very pleased to see that Demon World stuff is nice and available again, and it looks pretty good, and you can get some really nice little bits and pieces there. So that got me thinking, well, you know, maybe 15mm is where I should be going. That's where most people are at with these game systems. But, you know, the 10mm stuff looks good, and then, you know, I could use that for War Master Ancients as well. And you start getting into this horrible thing of what basin do I go with? Do I do this? And this is a real problem. Now, obviously, the great thing about DBA is it's based on the War Games Research Group's, you know, 40mm or 60mm basin standard. So it's a fairly stable platform there. But if you like your bases a little bit bigger, you might want to consider Impetus. And I have to say, I've been very impressed by basic Impetus. So at a recent show, I picked up the full version of the rules. And, you know, they're not that different. They are a little bit pricey, in my opinion, for what you're getting. But, you know, nice production standard, nice colour diagrams and everything. So not too expensive, just a little bit more than I would have liked to pay personally. But very good, very impressed, and look forward to seeing some action on the table with Impetus. Now, with Impetus, you obviously can use your standard size bases, or you can go for their more desirable look, where it's basically four times the size, because you have, you know, double the width and double the depth. So, you know, if you've got four DBA armies, you could kind of sabot them up as a fairly nice force for Impetus, and looks really good. And I have to say, one of the problems I do have with the 40 and 60 mil basin is, you know, particularly with the modern figures, they can be a little bit of a struggle to fit on there. It is possible, but you know, you have to sometimes tweak them and rotate them a bit. What I did find interesting is my Lord of the Rings figures are kind of like true 25, 28 mil figures, so I was able to fit five on a 60 mil base, but was a little bit tricky on occasions. And obviously, you know, you have to actually cut the little slotter base bit off the bottom for that to happen. Now, if you're looking at alternatives, if you're not so keen on Impetus, Pulmus, if you're into your 6mm stuff, has now got the SPQR set, and that's looking really good. But for me, one of the best game sets out there for Ancients is Command & Colours Ancients. And I did look into doing a 20mm project on that, bought a load of Carthaginians and Romans, and they're still in the box unpainted, because obviously 20mm plastic can be a bit of a devil to paint up. Is that a project that might get back off the ground? Maybe, but I do have some space constraints, which means at the moment they're in my to-sell box. Now, what I found particularly interesting in Command & Colours Ancients is the expansions that gave you different periods, bigger armies, and I've basically got every single expansion that's come out. However, I don't have the most recent one, which is Sparta, which I believe is now fairly generally available. And it's got some interesting little bits there. In particular, it's going to allow for some really nice mega Greek battles and some interesting little tweaks to the hoplites. For example, I see you're potentially going to be able to use mounted cards to order them, and also using five blocks instead of your standard four blocks for an infantry unit to, you know, obviously show the resilience of the unit. Some nice little tweaks there. Looking forward to picking that up and getting that on the table. In fact, it's such a good game that some of the guys down my club have actually bought their own version of the rules, because they want to make sure they can keep playing it. Now, when you're talking about Command & Colours Ancients, a lot of people have been talking about Samurai, and it's sort of been a bit of a rumour on and off since sometime back last year. I can't remember the exact date. It did seem to firm up as a rumour just before Christmas, and then in January on Board Game Geek it seemed to be pretty much confirmed that it was happening. And our good old friends in Russia are going to be bringing out a new version of the Age of Battles box set. Now, from what I understand, it's going to include inside the Age of Battle rules and the Command & Colours rules, so you can play a kind of a Wabby style battle or the Command & Colours. Now, this is great news. I actually have an Age of Battles box set, which I am thinking about selling. I think that's going to be coming out of the sale box really rapidly, because I'm really looking forward to doing some Command & Colours Samurai. That's very, very exciting news. There are rumours that some websites are listing it on pre-order already, but that's about all I've heard. It's, you know, oh, there are some websites with it available on pre-order. Be interesting to see the development there. Now, on the Russian side of the website of Svendi, there does appear to be an image of some new Ashiguris, which are kind of mounted up on a weird square base with four of them on that base. looks good, I have to say, and I'm really looking forward to grabbing hold of that as well. I'm a big fan of the old Japanese battles, but I've never really found a rule set that kind of really appeals to me. I mean, you've got Killer Katanas, you've got Daimyo, Chrysanthemum Throne, and Peter Pig's rule sets, whose name escapes me right now. And they're all, you know, they're all quite good, but Command and Colours, that's where it is as far as I'm concerned. Now, talking about other games I've raved about in the past, Wings of War, or Wings of Glory, where is it, guys? You know, you miss the Christmas rush. It seems to be pretty hard to track down. Now, I do believe the World War II sets are trickling out. Where's the World War I stuff, guys? I have money not burning a hole in my pocket, but, you know, I've got imaginary money in my pocket burning a hole. You know, get stuff out there, guys. Don't let the game kind of fade away. Really want to see what's going on there. Other blasts from the past, Wiz War. Now, Fantasy Flight Games have re-released Wiz War, or are releasing Wiz War. That's great news. It's really good to see popular old games become available again. So long may that continue. Now, talking about other blasts from the past, we've got D&D. Now, recently there was announcement of a reprint of original D&D. Now, when you actually look into it, it would appear to be its first edition D&D. Really good news. Couple of things. Seems to be a limited print run and seems to be only an American release. What the hell? Not very impressed if that is the circumstances. Let's see what happens. It's a little bit early days. Let's hope things go on there. Now, when we talk about D&D, obviously you've got 4th edition, which has proved to be either wildly popular or absolutely hated. I think it's really good. Is it D&D? That's a different debate. But 5th edition is now in the works, and there's sort of this public beta. Now, if my role-playing game group was really kind of doing things, I would probably sign up for the beta to give it a try. However, my role-playing group's died a bit of a death right now, so it seems a bit pointless to sign up for that. Really exciting, though. Be great to see what's going on there. Now, D&D was used as a basis for the Iron Kingdom role-playing game, the D20 system. I'm glad to see that that looks like that's been dropped for a new 2D6-based role-playing game from Privateer Press. There does seem to be rather a lot of books coming out for it, which may be good, may be disappointing. It depends on the books. But I have faith that PP are pretty good at doing these sort of things, so it'd be really interesting to see what's going on there. There is a YouTube kind of promotional piece out, but that's about it for now. But really good to see that the Iron Kingdoms RPG is up and running and stuff going on there. Now, PP seems to have a bit of a wild weekend, because at about the same time they announced that, they also announced a new app for your Android and iOS devices, War Room. The way I see that is kind of an iBudget on steroids, looking really nice. Slight downside. Faction decks are going to cost about $7, which, you know, is not a big deal, but when you think there might be 11 decks that you need to buy, that's, you know, getting on towards $80. So not massively expensive, but expensive enough that you think, ooh. And I have to say, I don't really like paying for things on iTunes, I have to say. But, you know, this might be something I have to look into. Big fan of iBodger. I hope iBodger continues to exist, and we'll have to see. We'll have to see how things shake out there. But War Room is looking pretty impressive. Now, if that wasn't enough news to excite you, Colossals was also announced. This is the new book, War Machine Colossals, as a book name. Not so keen on it, but the figures that they've announced and shown you on YouTube look pretty interesting. Of course, lots of alarm bells and, you know, doom, doom and all that. But, you know, the war engines seem to be about right. Price was expensive, but not massively ridiculous. Look good, played fairly well, weren't totally unbalancing. So he's hoping Colossals could be really, really cool. Basically, they're just really, really big jacks. 120 mil based super jacks. Now, obviously, the initial thought is, well, you know, Behemoth and Mulg and the Avatar, they're going to look teeny and rubbish compared to these new things. Be interested to see how they handle that in the fluff. For example, there is a little teaser right at the end of the War Machine Colossals of a diagram of what looks like a really massive Diatrol. Now, is that going to be like an epic Mulg? Is it going to be an epic Warcaster super mutation thing? Or is it going to be some new Diatrol that they found sleeping away somewhere buried in a mountain or whatever? So I think it could be pretty exciting times over at Privateer Press. Of course, they've also announced lots of really cool new stuff, including the plastic exemplar errants, which still aren't out yet, but hopefully will be soon. Really looking forward to getting my hands on those. Now, you may remember on my last show, I talked about going to a tournament. I did go. I did reasonably well. I think I came third in the end, mainly due to the fact that I was one of the few players to actually grab hold of an objective and get some victory points. So almost everyone else seemed to do some caster kill. Some really nasty lists, some interesting tactics, a couple of things really opened my eyes. And I have to say, I really do enjoy the little battle box games. But, you know, 35-point games really, really do open up your options and still give you really tough choices about what to put in and out of your list. It does seem a little bit odd when you look across at other people playing and they're both playing with, for example, Epic Eris or something, which is a little bit of a downside. But the new Steamroller rules are going to help with that, because obviously characters are only going to be available to one of your two lists. So I have to say I was pretty impressed with my first tournament, and I'm really stoked for SmogCon, which is going on in Cardiff next month. So, or is it end of this month, sorry. Really looking forward to attending that. A little bit concerned that with a few more players being in attendance, I might get owned quite bad. Now, my Troll Bloods have been doing quite well. Recently had a battle where I had an epic, tough rolling dude who tied up two heavy warjacks. I think it was seven tough rolls in a row, which was just obscene. He finally died on the eighth one, but by then I was close to the enemy Warcaster, and Flaming Death, a couple of swords to the head, took that Warcaster down, and I actually won by caster kill, which was a good job, because if I hadn't won that turn via caster kill, I would have lost the next turn due to victory points. So really, really enjoying my Privateer Press stuff. Now, I did mention GW in the last show. I am going to talk about them, mainly due to the fact, obviously, with PP doing so much right, it really annoys you when GW doesn't do things right. The 6th edition leak, was it genuine, was it not? A couple of debates to and fro. Would appear to be it was a genuine document, but maybe not a particularly up-to-date version of the thing. Maybe it was just a anything goes test, let's see how this would change the game or not. I really, really like the look of the leaked 6th edition rules. It's the sort of thing that makes me think, yeah, why didn't GW do this way back 3rd or 4th edition? I'll still probably be a raving fanboy like a lot of other people with regard to GW. Having said that, obviously I can go off on a rant about other things, and I'm trying to avoid doing that. Now, also very exciting to see Lord of the Rings getting a little bit of a relaunch. Couple of boxing changes. They've dropped from 24 to 12 figures a box, which to my mind makes sense because, you know, two of each figure minimum sometimes felt a little bit odd. Obviously, they need to get the pricing right on the boxes. But if you go on the website, you can make up your own mind how they've managed to do that. Some interesting new figures, a lot of people quite excited by them, not particularly keen. What I'm looking forward to seeing is the actual Hobbit stuff, which is going to come out obviously to support the films, and could be interesting times for GW. I think 6th edition could really kind of be a bit of a game shaker. Will they get it right? We'll have to see. I really hope some of the rumours that I'm hearing about are true, because as I say, I found it very disappointing that really for the last 12 months I've not had much good to say about GW, and that's sad. Anyway, that's a whole load of stuff for me to dump on you guys. Other bits of news, which I forgot about, Esoterris, a really good gumshoe game engine, got a nice new adventure out for it, so you should go check out Pelgrain Press. Haven't talked about them really for a while. And obviously, if you're after any really cool World War II action, Flames of War 3 is kicking off, and I'm very pleased to see that there's some really cool third-party solutions for Flames of War. Plastic Soldier Company's got some really cool-looking 15mm stuff, which is making me look seriously at selling my 6 and 20mm World War II stuff and standardising on 15mm. Do I like the Flames of War game? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to get a go, and in particular with the new 3rd edition, I can see it being maybe a good time to get in. Now, if you've currently got the 2nd edition, bear in mind, if you take your rule book into your local friendly game store, potentially they can put a little sticker on your book and issue you a brand new miniature version 3 softback. Obviously, if you've got the open fire box or you don't have a copy, you can go out and buy yourself the nice new shiny hardback version 3. So very interesting to see what's going on there. Anyway, I think that probably covers everything. I don't really have anything else to talk about right now. Mainly due to the fact that I'm actually going to be moving, and basically with the last 12 months and work and various other things, I've basically had to make the choice, which has been quite difficult, to basically move. Now, the bad thing about that is obviously that's not helped with trying to get my RPG stuff up and going again, because I've had to basically tell them, well, you know, I'm actually going to let you all down because I'm going to be moving away. The board gaming side of things has suffered. And obviously the wargaming lot are quite sad to see me go. The good news is where I'm moving to is there's a very good bunch of guys for board gaming and wargaming. I haven't yet found out what's going on the role-playing side there. So I'm optimistic for the future. I think it's going to be a tough couple of months for me because with the move it's all, you know, relocating. I'm going to have to sell a load of stuff because I don't actually have enough room where I'm moving to. Some stuff's going to have to go into storage. So don't expect to hear from me for a while unless something really exciting happens and I can't contain my excitement anymore. But I think probably for the next 2 months I'm probably going to be a bit quiet. You might not notice a difference because obviously I have had the odd little show spacing issue on occasion, but that's basically what's going on with me. So really looking forward to, as I say, some privateer stuff that's not going into storage. That's going to be stored close at hand so I can get out and smack people with my trolls. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this little chat about the news, and until the next time, happy gaming.